Welcome to the Enlightening Motherhood Podcast. Here you will find a non-judgmental community offering support to mothers raising children with extra challenges. This community was created for you to empower moms who love their children deeply, but are also feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, or just plain stressed out. We are the place for moms who are sometimes feeling at the end of their rope and are looking for hope and light. Join us as we help you enlighten motherhood.
Hey everyone, this is Ashley. Welcome to the podcast. I'm happy to have you here with me today. I am going to jump right in because I have a lot of information to share with you today about perfectionism in children. I touched on this a little bit ago in other episodes, especially in episode 17, where I talked about anxiety in children. For a long time, I thought perfectionism was a form of anxiety. Perfectionism is actually a personality trait. According to Attitude magazine, at its core, perfectionism is related to anxiety. Anxiety doesn't like discomfort and uncertainty, and it tries to make the resulting feelings of fear and worry go away immediately. After researching more, my understanding now is that perfectionism leads to anxiety and depression and other mental health challenges, or it can lead to it. It doesn't necessarily lead to it. This is something one of my children is really struggling with right now. I picked this topic to dive into today because it's on my heart and mind. And if you also have a child who is struggling in this way, hopefully this information can help. So let's talk about what perfectionism looks like in children. Do you have a child who is self-critical and easily frustrated? Do they feel uncomfortable with new challenges or particularly tricky tasks? Does your child procrastinate to avoid failure or discomfort? Does your child fear social rejection or have low self-esteem? If so, your child may be a perfectionist. Dr. Carol Dweck, a professor of psychology at Stanford University, defines two types of perfectionism. The first type is excellence seekers. They push themselves because they are intrinsically motivated to achieve. This type is healthy and is associated with growth mindset. The second type is those who strive for perfection to avoid judgment and appear perfect to others. This type is associated with a fixed mindset and causes people to be self-critical, anxious, and quick to give up. The excellent seekers generally achieve more, are happier, and feel inspired. The fixed mindset perfectionists are likely to procrastinate challenges or avoid them entirely for fear of failure. Ultimately, they hold themselves back from the success they desire. This is really interesting to me. So excellence-seeking perfectionism is healthy. I didn't realize that any kind of perfectionism is healthy. I have always viewed perfectionism as paralyzing, even though I know it does have some benefits. It's the fixed mindset perfectionism that we want to avoid because of the negative effects it has, and we want to help our children avoid. Children who are critical of themselves and fearful of making mistakes are often perfectionists. These children are typically sensitive to criticism and critical of others. I see this a lot with a couple of my perfectionist kids. They are very sensitive to criticism and feel it so deeply, but at the same time, they are often critical of others. I am often telling them, you know how it feels when others say things like that to you. It hurts your feelings so much. Why are you saying the same things to your brother? I find it interesting that this is a common thing that kids struggle with who are perfectionists. According to research, kids who struggle with perfectionist tendencies often have distorted or rigid thinking patterns. Some of these kids put pressure on themselves to adhere to impossibly high standards. Maybe you have a child like that. For example, I have to get an A on my exam. I have to be the best in the class. Others may overgeneralize when they fail. This bad grade means I'll never do well. Why should I even try? Maybe they display black and white thinking. If I make an error, I will be a complete failure. Or focus on negatives while discounting the positives. I missed every ball in that game. I played terribly. The Quirky Kid is a website based out of New South Wales, Australia, that offers psychology services and tools. And I came across this recently. And just a side note that I lived in Sydney, New South Wales for a year and a half as a missionary. So it was fun to look through this website and see some of the vocabulary they use. It kind of felt nostalgic for me. I'll reference them a bit here in this episode. They have great information on their site. They share that these distorted thinking patterns act like filters, causing these perfectionist children to see the world quite differently than their peers, focusing on information and experiences that confirm underlying fears, that their best efforts will never be good enough, and filtering out more positive experiences. This can encourage self-critical beliefs and exacerbate avoidance behaviors as children become more unsure of themselves over time. Do you feel the weight of that? I do. I see this so much in my three kids who struggle with perfectionism, especially the overgeneralizing, black and white thinking, and focusing on the negatives. Our brains seek evidence to support our thoughts. If we are focusing on the negatives, our brain will try to support those negative thoughts. With my kids, they get incredibly frustrated with one tiny mistake. I heard one of my children say after messing up while painting, "This is why we shouldn't ever paint again." Another just last week expressed that they hate a new extracurricular activity they just started and were so excited to start, because they were frustrated with getting the uniform on correctly and it was getting all twisted up. Another example, which I have shared before, is when one of my children was younger and he would make a mistake on homework. He would dig his pencil into the paper so hard that it broke, crumple up the whole paper, throw it, he would knock down the chair he was sitting on, ran into the pantry nearby, slammed the door. One time he did that and was banging his head in there and sobbing. That broke my heart. Perfectionism doesn't just look like doing everything perfectly, though. There is also underachieving perfectionism, which is more of an all or nothing mindset. If you can't obtain the perfection standard that you want, you don't even try. Or you don't let people see the imperfections. I will be vulnerable and share that I can relate to a lot of this. Maybe you can as well. I didn't realize I was a perfectionist until I was in my late 30s. But looking back, I see so many signs. I remember as a kid being excited to do this toll painting project with my mom, and then wanting nothing to do with it after messing up once. I remember not feeling confident at cooking, so I didn't even want to try. And I didn't really cook until I got married, and now I love it. In graduate school, I pushed myself to get a 4.2 GPA while working part-time, having a baby with one semester remaining, who ended up being colicky, and I had nursing issues and lots of other things. It was anything but easy. And I was doing a practicum at the same time. My senior capstone project requirement was something like a minimum of 30 pages, and mine was more like 130 pages. I wanted to include numerous studies that I conducted personally and not leave anything out. Another example, I didn't send out thank you cards for our wedding gifts for so long because I wanted to hand make them and didn't have time to, so I kept putting it off until I could do it perfectly like I had envisioned in my mind. I really wish I had understood the concept of something is better than nothing back then. I'm also an underachieving perfectionist in a lot of ways. So I get perfectionism. It's something I've been working on since learning this about myself. And I feel like I've come a long way for myself. Changing my mindset to progress over perfection has helped a lot. That's something that I learned from Monica Packer at the About Progress podcast. But I still feel like I could support my kids so much more with this. When children fear failure, they often resist trying new things and taking healthy risks. Research tells us that perfectionism can also lead to high levels of avoidance, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, and exaggerated reactions to mistakes, all of which can interfere with a child's functioning. I have a son who doesn't like to try new things for fear of failure. He doesn't want to be involved with extracurricular things like sports because it will take away from his homework time and time to unwind from the stress of holding it together at school all day. But it's also because of fear of failure. He got hit in the face with a soccer ball when he was really young, and that was the end of soccer for him, which is exactly what happened to me at a young age, and I made the same decision. He therefore doesn't want to try any sports. I want to support him, but also feel sad that he is holding himself back from some of these experiences for fear of failure, or because he feels so much pressure to spend most of his time on homework. This is pressure he is putting on himself, not coming from my husband or me. How does a child become a perfectionist? I'm not going to edit that out because progress over perfection. I'm going to just embrace that mistake. So how does a child become a perfectionist? We know from research that the temperament of a child plays an important role. Children who are highly sensitive and prone to anxiety become more likely to express perfectionism. And I'm seeing this in my kids who are highly sensitive and those who do have anxiety. So it makes sense. As parents, we also want to focus on progress over perfection, like I just mentioned, in our kids, and not set a standard of perfection that is difficult to achieve. It is okay to encourage excellence. Like I mentioned before, excellence is healthy and associated with positive growth mindset. Excellence involves enjoying what you're doing, feeling good about learning, and gaining confidence. On the other hand, perfectionism results in always finding mistakes, no matter how well you're doing. Striving for excellence can be motivating, but striving for perfection is ultimately demoralizing. As parents, it's important to understand this distinction so that we can convey it to our child or our children. Children take cues from us when it comes to perfectionism. If your child feels that you expect perfection from them, they will strive to be perfect to gain your approval. So we want to avoid using the word perfect altogether, even as praise. This can cause children to feel they must achieve at an impossibly high level, right? If, for example, your child brings home a report card with all A's and one B, you don't want to focus on the B. Because pushing your child to achieve perfection can hurt both confidence and performance. So instead, you want to help your child set goals and standards that are reachable with effort and don't push that impossible perfection standard. And another thing as parents that we can do is be mindful of our criticism. Children worry about their parents withdrawing approval when they disappoint or get something wrong. So we want to be mindful of that, of how we express criticism or frustration. And we want to help our children evaluate their performance and talk about how they can improve. As a side note, I recently learned from Kristen Carter, who hosts the podcast, it's one for adults called I Have ADHD, that there is a correlation between ADHD and perfectionism. This was very interesting to me because I have ADHD and I am a recovering perfectionist. She says that kids with ADHD are often impulsive, and as a result, they are often corrected and sometimes feel shame based on others' reactions, even if it's not intentional. The way they show up in the classroom or at home or in the world often feels unacceptable. As a child, this can be difficult. We know with ADHD, the prefrontal cortex isn't fully formed, so it can be difficult for our kids to see others' point of views, why they might react that way, that kind of thing. Kristen has found that many adults who are perfectionists and have ADHD attribute their perfectionism to the shame they felt when they were kids, and now feel like they have to do that thing that they were shamed in as a child. They have to do that thing perfectly. I bring this up because it was eye-opening to me and something I am trying to be more aware of now with my kids. Attitude Magazine also points out that there is an overlap between ADHD and perfectionism in some ways, such as fear of failure or disappointing others, setting unrealistic or impossible standards of performance, all or nothing thinking, constant comparison to others, sensitivity to criticism, easily discouraged by setbacks, rejecting praise or believing you don't really deserve it, and depending on others for validation and approval. And I will link that article in the show notes if you want to know more about that. But I just thought I would mention, since some of you may have children with ADHD, that there can be a link between ADHD and perfectionism. And it doesn't mean that it is in all cases, but I thought that was interesting. So that being said, and I know that it was a lot, the good news is children can learn to overcome perfectionist traits with support and practice. I have come a really long way myself, so it gives me hope for my kids as well. Recent research from Michigan State University revealed the power of learning from mistakes. In this study, children with growth mindsets showed a large brain response after making errors and were more likely to improve their performance as a result. Interestingly, though, the study also showed that children with fixed mindsets could bounce back from mistakes, but only if they paid close attention to their errors. The current findings suggest that when children with fixed mindsets attend to their errors, they may still be able to recover as well as their growth-minded peers. So how can we help our children notice and learn from their mistakes? Rather than ignoring or shying away from addressing errors, we can give children the opportunity to figure out what went wrong. Prompts like, let's pay attention and figure out what happened, or mistakes are opportunities, let's explore this together, are good places to start. So I have some ideas for you. Most of these come from Big Life Journal, which is an excellent resource for positive growth mindset and also for kids who are struggling with perfectionism and many other things. They share lots of great information on Instagram and they have a website. So they have some really great ideas here. So first, you can talk to your child about how his brain is a muscle and about its incredible power to grow and develop. Just as our muscles get stronger with physical exercise, our brains strengthen from facing challenges. Remind him that brains are constantly changing and learning from new experiences. Children benefit from viewing stumbles and struggles as an essential part of learning. You can tell them that when we make an error, our brains spark and grow, and we actually learn faster. Remind your child she can choose to grow her brain and learn anything she wants by using effort and persistence. And Big Life Journal has a great visual for this that I will link in the show notes if you want to see that. Big Life Journal also has this great graphic that I really like about establishing new neural connections between brain cells is like building a bridge to cross a ravine. And it shows this graphic of this ravine and this little character, he's running across it. And it says the first time you cross the ravine, it requires a lot of effort. The first trip is the hardest. Having crossed the ravine once, the journey across gets easier and easier. You begin building a bridge across the ravine, which will make it very easy for you to cross it in the future. And in the second image, there's a bridge that goes across and the little character is running across it. So that would be a great visual to show your child to help them understand that mistakes can be a good thing, and it will help their brain grow. And I will link that as well. You can let your child know that everyone makes mistakes. Remind them we often learn more from our mistakes and failures than we do from our successes. A simple way to combat your child's unrealistic self-expectations is by pointing out your own mistakes. Talk about your problems in real time. For example, oops, I just added too much flour to this recipe, and how you are addressing them. Model for your child not to strive for the impossible standard of perfection. When you make a mistake or experience setbacks, don't engage in self-criticism or negative talk in front of your child. Instead, you could ask your child for advice. For example, I accidentally added too much flour to this recipe. What do you think I should do? Apologizing to your child when you fall short is also very powerful. Dr. Tina Payne Bryson refers to this as repairing the relationship and says it can be even more beneficial to the child than not messing up in the first place. Dr. John Gottman echoes this as well. He says, one of the most meaningful gifts a parent can give to their child is to acknowledge their own mistake, to say, I was wrong here, or I'm sorry. This is so powerful because it also gives the child permission to make a mistake, to admit having messed up and still be okay. When your child does make a mistake, comments like, that sounds frustrating for you, or I've felt that way too, and it's hard for a while, can help them feel connected to your imperfections. Another thing you can do is redefine success and reframe grades. Grades can be hard. Some kids get so caught up in grades and feel like they have to have all A's and they're reaching that high standard of perfection. Grades are not a reflection of who your child is, but where they are at that moment. Ultimately, it's the progress that matters, right? And we know that as parents, we can see that, but sometimes it's hard for our kids to see that. We can view grades as a reflection of improvement and learning rather than defining a child's ability, and we can voice that to them so they know that's where we're coming from. We can talk with our child about how grades don't predict the future or their potential. Instead, grades reflect past performance only, and it gives us important information about how we learn. Rather than dwelling on grades, you can encourage your child to ask questions like, what would I do differently this time or next time? Another thing you can do as a parent is recognize negative thoughts. For young children, you can use the balloon technique. Tell your child to catch a self-critical or negative thought, and then, or numerous thoughts, and then put them inside of a balloon. And blow up that balloon and tie the balloon up and then let it go. They can then replace the negative thoughts with more positive ones or an affirmation like, I'm doing my best. For older kids, challenge their thinking. Dr. Carol Dweck says, when your child makes a mistake, view this as an opportunity to teach them how to try different strategies if the first ones don't work. How to step back and think about what to try next, like a detective solving a mystery. When your child's perfectionist thinking takes hold, work to stay calm. So you as a parent, inhale, take a deep breath, and then recognize this opportunity to show patience and understanding. And a tip is to practice these calming strategies with your child. You can practice them on your own or practice maybe breathing exercises with your child in advance so that when tricky moments come up, you're both prepared. And empathetic comments like, I can see you're angry because you want this to be perfect, or I know how hard it is to feel you've made a mistake can be really impactful. Then when your child is more settled, have them reflect on one or more of the following questions. What's the worst thing that could happen? What is a more positive way to think about this? What part of my problem could I solve now? You could go deeper with some of these. What evidence do you have for your fear or negative thought being true? What is helpful about your negative thought and what is unhelpful about it? What is the worst that could happen? And how terrible is this on a scale of life events? What could be more realistic and helpful to say to yourself? As a recovering perfectionist and as someone who has anxiety, reading these questions helps me feel more calm and grounded. So I imagine they would be very helpful for my kids as well. And these are great if your child has anxiety too. Another idea from Big Life Journal is to emphasize fun. They point out that in a recent study, a research team from George Washington University used concept mapping to map fun in youth sports. They found that winning is not an essential element of having fun in sports. Kids rated factors like positive coaching, being a good sport, trying hard, team friendship, and learning and improving as far more important in terms of fun. Next time you pick up your child from practice, ask, "Did you have fun today?" instead of "How many goals did you score today?" or "How did you do today?" This shows that you care about your child enjoying the activity more than about winning or achieving perfection. When you do talk to your child about performance, you can emphasize the new skills they are learning and the areas in which they are improving. Focus on the process of learning and enjoyment instead of just stressing the achievement. And this is also true in other areas like academics or anything else that they're doing in their life. Another idea is to encourage self-compassion. I really like this one. From a young age, children are told to be nice to others, but we rarely teach kids how to be kind to themselves. When facing failure, children need access to the kind, loving voice within more than ever. You can help your child understand self-compassion with books. They suggest Listening with My Heart by Gabby Garcia or Moody Cow Learns Compassion by Carrie Lee McLean. Next, you can brainstorm the words that maybe they like to hear from their friends or their parents when they make mistakes. Your child could ask himself, "What would a good friend tell me about this?" or "What would my mom say?" Encouraging your child to write a kind letter to himself or journal, do some journaling can be helpful if they are interested and into that kind of thing as well. You can also teach your child the power of the word yet. When your child says they can't do something or haven't achieved something, you can chime in with yet. You can do a 5-day challenge where everyone talks about their favorite mistake at dinner time. I think that's a great idea. You could pick a new skill that everyone will learn and try together. Juggling, cartwheels, drawing self-portraits. These are all things that maybe we wouldn't be fantastic at initially. You could read books about mistakes. Some ideas are The Beautiful Oops, Mistakes That Worked, The Book of Mistakes. We have one at our house called Rosie Revere Engineer that we really like. Big Life Journal has a printable you can purchase with lots of titles of books about mistakes if you're interested, for both kids and adults. You could hold a mistake party. You could create a sign that is spelled wrong, serve treats that aren't frosted perfectly, have guests wear mismatched socks. I think that's a really fun idea. You could have a trivia night about mistakes that changed history. Famous mistakes turned into cool inventions such as penicillin, post-it notes, popsicles, potato chips, and microwave ovens. Reading about those makes me want to look those up. And I know about some of them, but popsicles and post-it notes? There's some that I'm like, I don't know how that was a mistake that turned into an invention. That would be really cool to learn about. Big Life Journal also has a famous failures kit that highlights people in history like Michael Jordan, Thomas Edison, and Milton Hershey who failed before becoming successful. That would be really cool to go over with my kids. You could paint random splodges onto large paper and transform them into things. This reminds me of Bob Ross and how he would say there's no mistakes, just happy little accidents. And it also, my child who got upset about the paint not being perfect and this is why we should never paint again is coming to mind. I think this kind of an activity might benefit him. You could try a new recipe with your child and let your child take the lead. Discuss what would happen if you switched the ingredients. Allow for downtime rather than overscheduling kids. This is really important to one of my kids, as I mentioned. He hates being busy with too many things, and he's able to express that to me, and that's something that I want to support him in, and I honor those feelings. Words of affirmation are huge for my perfectionist kids. Criticism cuts them like a knife. One of my boys is making dinner a lot lately. He made a roast, potatoes, and carrots the other night. And his brother made a comment about not liking the food because he was used to having that kind of a meal on a Sunday only and not during the week. Even though everyone else really liked it, the child who made the food held on to this comment and felt really terrible about it. Using positive words of encouragement and affirmation goes a long way for our perfectionist kids. Big Life Journal has a free list of 30 ways you can respond to your perfectionist child. Some I really like and want to write out, maybe to put on my fridge or like somewhere where I can see them are: amazing things come from accidents and imperfections. I'm so proud of you for working hard. You are learning so much. It doesn't need to be perfect, but if you want it to be better, we can practice more. I can tell you tried hard and it shows, and hard work creates progress. I will link these in the show notes. You can also encourage your child to use positive affirmations, which is a powerful tool. Some examples are, I'm good at lots of things and I can learn from my mistakes. You can check out episode 24 for more ideas about how to use positive affirmations in parenting. You want to be supportive for your child and ask them what they need to achieve what they want. Like for my son who doesn't want to be involved in lots of extracurriculars. Maybe your child needs more sleep or more help from you in another way. So opening that communication can be helpful. And last, but definitely not least, demonstrate unconditional love. Make sure your child knows that your love isn't conditional on performance. Go beyond just saying this. You want to make sure you're not demonstrating excitement, interest, or pride only when your child accomplishes something. And also, as you're implementing these things, give yourself some grace. You don't have to do it perfectly. If you are parenting a child who struggles with perfectionism, or if you are a perfectionist yourself, or both, you are not alone. I know it can feel overwhelming. I would encourage you to take note of one or two things from this episode and apply them in your parenting. After a couple of weeks, apply one more thing. Progress over perfection. That is my mantra. Have a wonderful week with your family.